Good morning, everyone. This is Jay Nemerow. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Gentleness. The podcast. We're going to call it the podcast again. You don't have to worry about what you use to it. You can use an iPod like I have. You can use an MP3 player. Works great. I had recorded something just ahead of this, and now I've had to go back and change it. So this is actually the first real recording of the day. It's been a little while since I've done any recording, so there's lots of changes that have gone on, and I need to let me talk about it a little bit. I talk about this as if I've got like a staff or something. I've started another podcast. And this one actually has an RSS feed. It actually behaves like a podcast. You can download the RSS feed. You can get all the information that you need to about all the recordings that have been made so far. There's only been one, but it's actually for my job. I thought that there was kind of an opening and a need for just little snippety podcasts, little things that people could download and listen to that didn't take an hour, didn't chew up a whole lot of people's time. The college where I work, it uses some software called Centra, and Centra is a big, monstrous, bandwidth-hungry monster, and when we use it, we tend to use it for big stuff, and for good reason. It's really made for a presentation. You go and you spend 30 minutes or an hour giving a presentation, and this thing records it. And wonderful, it's a wonderful collaborative tool. I think we could probably use it more as a collaboration tool than we do. And but it's also got some other things. You know, it's got administrative things. It's a whole lot of overhead for probably what I'm thinking of doing. That's why I started the podcast. The podcast is really low bandwidth, really short, maybe from 3 to 7 or 8 minutes, and it's made to be really quick to download, shoop, and you've got it, and you listen to it, and these MP3 files, the ones for Quasi-Indefatigable Gentleness, I guess, gave me the experience I needed to go ahead and go for this. I got to the point, though, that where I finally figured out enough about how to do an RSS feed to make it happen. I've actually got so that now that you can start up a podcast kind of client, and it actually can be syndicated. It can actually be subscribed to, and it's kind of cool. Anyway, I might ultimately do this with the quick stuff, although I don't think I'm going to do it for all of them. I'll only do it for the few ones that are coming in right now. I'll have the big archives so people can go back and they can download archives. I don't want to do that for the podcast for the simple reason that I don't want people trying to pull down the entire library at one shot. That's kind of my tendency. And I kind of figure that other people have that same tendency to want to kind of behave that way with it. And I don't want them to because I don't have much bandwidth. I frankly use my mother's internet connection. I used to have one, but because of the effect that the internet was having on my children, I got rid of it. I didn't want it anymore. Anyway. So we've been working on that, on the podcast. Finally got that pulled together last week at work, and it's totally work-related. It has nothing to do with anything else except for work, and it's kind of a proof of concept. At some point, I may put it, you know, if I get permission, if people like it, I'll put it on the university server, and one of the university servers, and see if... And maybe we can do a little bit better bandwidth, stuff like that. I'd still like to keep it on the small side, but maybe I'll step up from 8 8 kbps to 16 or 32. Just because the sound quality gets a little bit better. And I like that. I'll tell you a little bit about what's going on at the Quix server farm. That's why I finally decided to start calling it. Even though it's only one box, there's just a plethora of servers on which you can access thing. I finally, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, got Synchronet VBS software installed on the server. I like Synchronet for several reasons. It really is. He's done a really fine job, and it does a good job. I like it because, hey, it kind of goes back to my roots in VBS. That was when I first got into computers in the late 70s. That was one of the great calling cards, was this ability to have kind of a community. In those days, that was, you did that with the VBS. Although the internet somewhat existed, it was mostly a research and university level educational thing, and I didn't have access to it. You know, I was a teenager, for Pete's sake. So I got into VBSs. That's what Synchronet is. Synchronet has become this VBS on steroids. It's a VBS that's been kind of pumped up until it finally got to the point to where it works pretty nice on the internet. I like it. It's a great thing. So, anyway, let me tell you, it's kind of the everything plus the kitchen sink way of doing a web presence or actually an internet presence. It's got a web interface. Of course, there's the old style telnet logging in to the VBS section of it. There is, it also can let you get to the message bases, which is, you know, what a VBS really was a bunch of message passing. It provided, you know, it gives you a gopher. It doesn't do gopher like I do gopher. It's not that sophisticated. I can't say, because Gopher's really not that sophisticated by and large. I could probably do some programming on the interface. It's all done in JavaScript, and it really makes it so that you can add functionality however and whenever you want to. And it's a kick in the pants. So it's got web, it's got Gopher, it's got IRC, you know, it's got an interface to internet relay chat. It's cool. You can't like slip yourself into an IRC network particularly, as far as I'm aware. But it does give you a chance for those who, it gives you 100 different ways to make contact with people. It already had a chat service on there, so I said, well, since it's got chat, it just by and large needs to become our IRC. It has a news group server. It's actually got several things around news groups, so that you can actually run your own news group service, and it's fantastic. I love it. Anyway, so you can get feeds that way. You can also provide your own feeds. I've got some Quix specific things. It's also got DevNet, which is kind of an internal Synchronet type of networking thing. It can also do FidoNet, although FidoNet is becoming kind of superfluous. It's really kind of pointless. There's some people that still use it. I would if I needed to call in to a computer network over the phone, I guess I would use FidoNet to pass my messages and create a file bone, but I'm really not, you know, it's really not necessary anymore, so we don't do that. What else does it have? Telnet, our login, which is basically the same thing with a little just different mechanism for logging into things. It handles your username and password for you. What are the other things? I'm trying to remember. It's got FTP, of course, so people can go to your site as if it were an FTP site, and everything just looks great. It's got all the things that you would expect the old BBSs to have, you know, kind of automated ways of doing this and that. Some of the things that the Internet never really got into because they always went at it from another direction. You know, you had a file store, but you really didn't sit down and create descriptions for all your files. People just had to know what the files were about, or they'd have to drill in and get the information. Or you'd have to set up almost a separate website that had the descriptions and then pointed you back to the FTP site to actually get the files that you wanted. Anyway, this thing provides all these little connections. You know, some of them are kind of getting superfluous. Most people don't even think about it. You go to the web provides everything that you could need, and that's all it does. This is kind of cool just from a nostalgic standpoint, although I don't think I'll spend a lot of time on it. Once I had all this stuff put into place, I started really wondering and saying, you know what, I really need to morph this into something that's more than just, hey, this is Jay. You know, this is Jay's website, because, you know, who cares? Who's going to come and visit and be a part of a community that all you talk about is Jay? Because, I'm not that interesting, I think. So I started thinking about what kind of turns my little gears. What kind of makes Jay, Jay. And I think it was just last week where I finally said, you know what it is. And it all has to do with the name, Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. It's about being essentially different, but having kind of common differences in common. It's important that if you're going to go out and find a group, number one, they've got to be sufficiently different from the general population that it's attractive. But also that there's enough people in that group that you can get a good group of people together, and it can be kind of a neat thing. So I started thinking back, and I started pondering, and I had looked this up not too long ago, about, it's called proto-autism. And I kind of came up with the term, and then I plugged it into Google, and I Googled it. I guess that's what you call it now. And sure enough, two or three places, other people had used the term proto-autism kind of in the same sort of context. Not autistic people per se. Now, I add a little bit more to it, that it's people that had not been diagnosed as autistic, but who had produced autistic offspring, such as I have. There are lots of sites and gathering places for people who are the parents of autistic people, but it's always in relationship to their kids. How do you deal with them? What's really going on? You know, I want to fix my kid. What kind of resources are there to make it so my kid stops acting autistic? There's been a little bit of stuff out there about, you know, you shouldn't mess around with autistic people because it's like they're different people altogether. And how scientists have really poo-pooed the whole thing and said, no, we need to find a cure. There's got to be a cure for this. I tend to be the kind of person that says, what, you're going to try to cure me from being who I am? And these guys say, oh, no, these people don't want to be the way they are. They want to fit in. They want to be just like everybody else. You go, I don't. And then they go, well, then you're not truly, and you're not diagnosed, you're not truly autistic, and I don't care about you. You know, you, how dare you try to speak for autistic people? I am a PhD. I have experience. I've played with many autistic heads. And, you know, you listen to me. I am the ultimate arbiter of what's good and what's not, and so it kind of comes from the fact that I don't have a lot of respect. I don't hold out a PhD as being all that. PhDs that are pompous, and I'm seeing if these guys are, mostly because a lot of their money comes from the whole idea that we need to find a cure, but there's a lot of money invested in that from parents who have some means that want their kids normal. And they want to poo-poo all this stuff, because if this thing takes hold, these guys don't have any money. They don't have research, but they'll find something else to do. And that's not interesting to them, you know? So they like things the way they are. Anyway, this whole concept of proto-autism, there's just a little bit out there. It's only been discussed maybe on two or three things, and it's kind of a made-up word. And I want to kind of produce a website that's just on that subject. And I hope to be able to attract people to the whole concept of it. But it needs to be in place, cooking, going, doing great. It's great for me because I see myself as a proto-autistic person. And it really ends up being just, it isn't something where you have to go out and get a diagnosis. It's not something where you have to have that. It's more like an affinity group. We are this kind of people. We tend to be this way. We tend to have, and they tend to have similar interests, you know, tend to gravitate toward technical fields that are kind of engrossing. And it makes all this stuff kind of happen. It's really neat. So I'm kind of going in that direction. You don't really have to be a certain way. There's Zenilists, and I'd like to change that name, because Zenilist really has a real definition. You know, it's got lots of parallels I'm talking about. I like the whole Zeno thing, because it's talking about difference. Talking about a Zenilist is, there's all kinds of ways to interpret what it means, but it mostly means it's a different kind of rock embedded. It is one kind of rock embedded into another, usually igneous stuff. It's like a volcano spits up lots of lava, but within that lava, you can find bits of rock that aren't from the volcano. They are stuff that just kind of gotten stirred up in it, and it's Zeno because it's different, and lith is rock, so it's different rock. I like the whole Zeno thing because it implies different. And that's essentially, I think, what proto-autistic sort of people are. They are different. And not to try to beat out those differences, you know. I've noticed that in the field of autism, it seems to attract people who really honor conformity, and that really say, you know what, we need people to behave a certain way, so we go through just horrible, just obnoxiously in your face behavioral therapy to try to make people react to, you know, react properly to things that they that happen to them. I'm sorry, I'm sitting here, I'm going through road construction, there's cars driving past me on the road construction side going faster than I am, they're making me a little nervous, and so it's hard to concentrate. As you know, this recording is made in a car while I'm driving, So that's why, you know, I kind of flitter around. My notes are kind of weird. I can get distracted pretty easy and then try to get back on topic, and sometimes I forget what the topic is. But the topic is proto-autism and a name that we can give to it. I'm going back. I'm going to look on the internet if there's some place. It's really interesting, the kind of stuff that interests people and the kind of list they put up. And I think that's kind of one of the things that I want this site to be, is to fill some gaps. There's 100 billion different gaps out there in the universe for people who say, I really don't want to find this, you know. I kind of want a dictionary, I don't know if a dictionary is a good word for it, of a listing and some definitions of Latin roots. I'd love to have that, so that people can go, oh, well, this is what that means, this is what this could mean, and what this thing says. And I like that. Just to use the personal resource for me, because I tend to make up new words. And I know most of our words have a Latin or a Greek base to them. So, it's like xenolith. It's basically two Latin words kind of shoved together and anglicized. And that's kind of what I want to do with this thing. Whatever I come up with, it's basically a short term, an actual term that means proto-autistic, and what proto-autistic people find interesting, and what we can work on together. It's always important that when you get a group of people together, that they don't just get self-centered and start talking about, you know, themselves and yada yada yada. You can have that, but the kind of projects that would appeal to proto-autistic, now we've got all the technology stuff. I've got that technology thing too, but I also have other interests, and we need to kind of explore those for other people to say these are things that are definitely within the realm, and to have a community around that, and that's what the Synchronet BBS is gonna kind of pull together for us. You have 5 or 6 different ways to contribute to this, and I want to just keep it going that way. The time's up. A little bit of news, a little bit about being proto-autistic. Let me go on next to some of the other things that we'd like to do. My name is Jay Nimro. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Xenolith. I might change the name pretty soon, depending on if I can come up with a better word I like better. Have a great day.